Here we are. I think it's episode 149 of the Pranks and Firth podcast. My name, you'll know, because I'm the well-known one of the two. I'm the one that's sort of pulling in the money, making the big bucks. Ash Frith. My sidekick slash helper, who you won't have heard of, but his name is Juston Plonks. Jasmine Plonks, come in.
I'm more than happy to be your sidekick. Cue the music!
Never be my sidekick. You are the number one. I'm aware of how this works. You act as if you're a big number two, a steaming number two, but you're not. You're in control. I know it, and I'm fine with it. I'm fine to be the beta.
If we were the two fat ladies, I would definitely be in the sidecar. I'm that one.
There is no way you'd get in the sidecar.
I would be in the side. You'd have like a cool shot perfecto leather jacket on like James Dean. And I would be in the sidecar like Olive from On the Buses.
We both know that's not true.
Although it's true.
It might be that, but then people would know that, you know, outside of the motorbike environment, who would be the... Is it fair to say letterbox, or can you not say that anymore?
Well, who's the train and who's the tunnel?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I feel like you'd just... It'd be like in Lord of the Flies. Do they ever have sex with the fat one out of Lord of the Flies? Lord of the Flies?
You're thinking of Deliverance, aren't you?
Maybe. You'd be the pig and I'd be the... No, I'd be the...
You're the hillbilly.
You'd be playing the banjo. You can play the banjo, of course.
I can play dueling banjos on the guitar.
Do you know why? That's why I've never fully trusted you, because of your ability to play the banjo so well and your desire to eat meat.
Oh, yeah. You brought that up. Was that 2 minutes in?
Well, because you like eating pigs is what I meant.
Yeah, I do. What am I? Because I'm an infidel, you mean?
I'm just worried that with your ability to play banjo and pig.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I get it now. And twist ears. I like to twist your ear as I'm bumming you as well. You don't like that?
I bet you're an ear twister, actually.
Yeah. When I watched that Deliverance the first time, it's obviously probably the most harrowing scene in all of cinema, of course.
I'm going to interrupt you already. The most harrowing scene in any film for me is it... I want to call it Call of Duty, but I don't think that's what the film's called. It might be Apocalypse Now, I'm not sure, where there's the smiling guy in there in Vietnam, and he's like, why are you smiling?
Platoon.
That stayed with me for my entire life. They beat his head in, don't they?
Yeah, but he smashes his head in with the butt of his rifle.
He's just a simpleton, isn't he? And they kill him to death.
Yeah, but I think, like, now I'm an adult and I've watched Platoon once when it first came out. I haven't watched it again. I don't know how it holds up. But, like, looking back, yeah, it was harrowing. And you think, oh, the GIs are awful. And they were in that scene, obviously. And obviously there's a rape as well. But I think it was kind of like the idea was it was about how they were sort of like in the grip of some kind of mania, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. But I think it's strange that I remember watching that thing assuming up until that point that the Americans and the British would always be the good guys in a film. And they're very much not the good guys in that film, are they?
Well, and they weren't. Well, that is a very unique war, especially in the eyes of America, because they're very military country. But they were spat at when they got back, and
yeah, they were hated.
I think that was the one where the government pushed it too far. I mean, I don't know. It's weird that it's actually odd that Americans turned their back on the military, and then sort of like now they're doing worse stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
And there's just sort of like over this WikiLeaks and like the what the, you know, that one where the first thing I ever saw on WikiLeaks was that sort of like black and white or sort of like, you know, what do you call it? Like, is it heat sensitive infrared footage of,
oh God, yeah, of them shooting some innocent people.
Yeah, and then going, oh well, that's what they sort of say at the end, didn't they?
I haven't seen it, but I've seen of it.
Yeah, I think at the end one of them sort of goes like, oh, I hope they were bad guys. Oh well, like that, I think. But then again, is it the soldiers' fault? Are they just, they're just sort of like brainwashed cogs in the big machine, Ash? I don't know.
Yeah, that's totally true. Yeah, I went to, when I went to Insomnia Gaming Festival last week, have I spoken about that? I think I probably have. We went to Insomnia and there was, the army were there and they had this whole big thing up, like, because obviously there's gamers.
Yeah, there. Oh my God. Right, now listen, let's talk about some, like, hypothetical question. Boy Firth comes home, your son.
Mm, yeah.
Dad, I've made up my mind. I want to join the army.
You're not joining the army.
I'm just, you know what? You can be a drug dealer. You can't be a policeman or a soldier. Anything else, fine.
Yeah, totally agree. Not worth it.
Well, the police is just can't have that, but the armies are just, ugh. I think, like, to want to join the army, you've got to be a cunt. And then I think the army's like a finishing school for cunts. That's where they sort of...
Well, that's what they want, though. That's what they want. They want uncaring psychopaths. They want... Like, you've gigged in Coventry and had squaddies there. That's what they want them to be.
Do you mean Colchester?
They want them to be that. But then they just wash their hands of them when they get back and they've finished their duty. They are just cut loose. There is no aftercare whatsoever. So you've got all these blokes who've been revved up, told to kill. I mean, it sounds mad, doesn't it? But they're trained to kill without emotion.
Yeah.
And then they go, and oh yeah, we're back now. See you later.
But don't you think, like, that's the thing, like there were times where war has to happen, like the one, World War II, you have to say, it had to happen. But like there was a draft and people like fought because like you had to, and like, I think you'd like to think if you was of age at the time you would have. But it's the ones that voluntarily during peacetime
had a bad knee.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. But because they were sort of like, shit, there is a madman invading countries in Europe and getting like inching closer towards our island, which obviously Britain is the jewel in the crown of Europe, and why, I don't know why I'm pretending I think that. But like you sort of think, oh, there is a reason to fight. I think that there is a moral, there's a duty to, there's a kind of something that you could believe in. But like to just think, oh, I want to be a soldier.
I'm going to protect my loved ones by going out and defending them from afar.
But like to just join the army. I remember when I was at school, right? Oh my God, this is one of those memories that just clicked into my head. I haven't thought about this for about like 30 years. I was in middle school and we all had to do a thing. It might have been English, about what we wanted to do when we grew up. And there was this kid in my class. So this was middle school. So I would have been under 13. I reckon I was 11 or 12, maybe 10, 11, 12.
We don't have middle school around here.
I know, and I don't think they do here anymore. The middle school, I went to primary school from like 6 until 9, then middle school 9 to 13, then upper school 13 to 16. Weird. But now they've changed it. So the school I went to until you were 13, you now stay there until you're 16.
Well, 18 now, because that changed a couple of years ago, didn't it?
Yeah, well, I did do sixth form, but... You know, but so this kid was like 10, 11, right? And he stood up and he sort of gave this speech. You know, when someone's almost starts, you know, when someone's talking about themselves and it's like they almost start crying. Like Americans do this on chat shows, don't they? When they start talking about something they did brave and you think, oh, you can't fucking get like, now you've spoiled it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like if someone did a heroic, brave thing and then starts going, and then I took the assailant down and saved their life, like, you just fucking feel sorry at you. So anyway, he stood up and he was just holding it together and he was talking about how he wants to join the army and he'd go, and if I was asked to give my life for my country, I would. And it was like this big impassioned speech and I just went like, oh, fuck off. I didn't say that, but I remember I said something.
Grow up.
Yeah, I went, oh, Jesus Christ. Everyone laughed and I completely ruined his moment.
And that's your greatest moment and his worst. Well, I've had a family member who joined the army, a stepbrother, and he had totally misjudged it because he was a footballer. He was on the books at Watford and hated it. That was at the time of being an apprentice.
Yeah, YTS boy.
Yeah, so he was sweeping stands, cleaning boots, highly regarded, but then quit because of that. Like, that's what stopped him.
Oh, yeah, he sounds definitely cut out for the army.
So, but then he joined the army.
I've got a massive problem with authority and being told what to do. I'm going to join the army.
He did have a massive problem with authority. And yeah, he did. And he joined the army. Obviously, didn't last there. But yeah, family friend joined the army. And he went almost instantly into officerhood, though. You know, he served as a squaddy, but then was moved very quickly up the ladder, because I think they look at them. I imagine as you go through the door, there's almost like a barcode on the back of your neck that they scan and go, oh, grunt and officer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think you have to, because there's officers like colleges and stuff, isn't there? Like,
he had already begun to learn Russian by the time he joined the army. He wanted to be an intelligence. So by the time he was sort of a couple of years in, he was...
In military intelligence, isn't that an oxymoron in some respects? Isn't that... that was my bad comedian voice.
Yeah, I liked it. But you live in a very military town, in a very military village.
I come from military stock. Obviously, my grandfather on my mother's side was an American GI.
Yeah, well, so she told you.
Yeah, he probably wasn't.
He was a fleet. He came back with a bar of chocolate and some ten denier tights.
He had a banjo and a black teeth and was good at twisting ears, apparently. But wouldn't want either of my sons to join the army. Definitely not. And not because I'd be worried about them dying. I just don't want them to be.
You don't want your wife to be upset for a weekend.
Yeah, well, God, I'm talking about that. We've had some upset here, mate.
I'll get there. I need to tell you about insomnia.
Let me guess, because people play Call of Duty and shoot first-person shooters, they're going, why don't you bring your skills into the army? It's just the same thing, really. Oh, fucking hell.
And they're saying, instead of doing this, like it's all like gaming brings communities together and mates. Well, the best community of mates is the army. And then they had like games that you could play that were army games. And then they had this war truck there that wasn't a tank, but it wasn't a Jeep. And on the top, it had this ginormous cannon, like just a death machine.
It sounds like a tank, I'll be honest.
But it was on a truck.
Right.
Imagine the top of a tank on the top of a truck.
But it had wheels, not caterpillar tracks.
It had wheels and a cab.
Right.
On the right-hand side, the passenger seat, there was a screen and a joystick. So my son, like, they had a climbing wall there. So my son had to go on the climbing wall. And then they're like, oh, do you want to have a look at the truck? And it's like, of course I want to have a look at the truck. And they go, oh, this is like one of your computer games. Grab that joystick. So he sits in there and they go, look, you can drive around. And you see the cannon moving around on top. And it goes, right, find someone. You can flick this button. It goes into heat sensitive mode. So we were at obviously a gaming convention. So there was a lot of heat.
Wow.
And then you could zoom in to people over the other side in EC so that you could, like, it was a bit like that video that you've seen, I've not seen.
Well, you could pretend to kill them.
And he was like, and if you pull the trigger, you'd be shooting them. And you could see the cannon moving around. And that person was, you know, probably a third of a mile away or so. How big's the NEC? Massive. And he's zoomed in on this person eating an ice cream or something and just, you could just pretend to take him out. And he's like, there you go. And then he showed you, like, the dip, because it can fire over such a long distance, something like 4 miles or something, that there is a dip off on the bullets.
Yeah.
Like, so he's like, this is, you put the dot on, like, there's a computer screen. So the dot would be the aim point, but you have to aim higher because of the drop of the bullet.
Yeah.
And he's like, but he was like, oh, but just like one of your computer games. I was like, mate, this is a murdering machine.
That's so bizarre. Cynical, isn't it?
It's very strange. I found it very uncomfortable. I wanted to say something, but then I just thought, it's not. What can you say? Just like, this is a death machine, boy, and this will be killing farmers.
This will be killing someone. Yes, a goat herder. That's got a. They might be throwing stones at you. That's like they should say. It's like Call of Duty, except, you know, instead of getting shot, like some kids might throw a stone at you, you can just blow their head off. It's a bit like having a hack.
Speaking of blowing heads off, you had a lovely trip away this weekend with your partner, didn't you?
Yeah, we drove all the way down to Portsmouth to pick up a fireplace, and there was an incident.
I want to hear all about it.
Stopped at a roundabout.
Bang! Stopped at a roundabout? What?
Someone's driving in the back of us.
Yes.
Now, I've always said to you, I've always said to you, in any situation like this, you lay down, pretend you fucked your back up and get a payout. Don't you? Yeah. Have I always said that?
Yeah. You tried to get me to do it.
I did. This is my
thing. How hard did he hit you from behind?
It was a woman.
Of course.
Very hard. Oh, Ash. But
I'm joking.
Oh, no, you weren't. You always, there's things you say to me off. So anyway, I look round. It's a woman, youngish girl.
Oh, you could look round, could you? Your neck seems fine.
Youngish girl on her own. I get out, walk to the back of the car. I wasn't driving. So yeah, fucking nurse's uniform.
Oh, perfect. You can really take her down now.
No, so I didn't.
Oh,
didn't even take details.
How bad's the car?
No, it weren't, no damage. But it was a big old smack, but it's got like a massive sort of crumped up bumper, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and how was her car?
Yeah, fucked. It was quite fucked at the front.
Because the front of cars collapsed, whereas the backs
her car
don't.
Was pretty bad. There was like, you know, like there's a little thing what comes out to reveal the tow butt, to reveal like the tow hook that had all fell out and there was like a big crack upper. And I could
big
just
crack
tell.
Upper?
Yeah, she had a big old crack, mate. And so I was just like, oh, fuck's sake. Why couldn't it have been like some prick in an Audi?
And you got back to the car and your wife's like, oh, my back.
Well, actually, I actually did hurt my neck.
But it doesn't take much to give you whiplash. It genuinely doesn't.
It doesn't, it turns out, when you've got osteoarthritis. But I was like, by that stage, I think I was on my third or fourth
beer.
Yep, 660 milliliter, the big bottles of Moretti.
You were drinking beer whilst being driven to Portsmouth.
And back, yeah. We were meant to share the driving, but just halfway down there, I stopped at a garage.
I don't think you're allowed to have open beer in the front of the car. You know that, yeah?
Oh, grow up. What are you talking about?
I don't think you're allowed to have open
beer. I got pulled over once drinking a tin of cider.
That. What did they say? He definitely can't do that.
He goes, how many of them you had? And I had like three. The other three tins of Strongbow. I used to drink Strongbow in those days.
Just in the footwell?
Yeah, three tins in the footwell and one in my hand. I went, just opened it. Look, I went, look, I've only drunk a quarter. And he breathalyzed me. He goes, look, it's not against the law, but we don't recommend it. But that was the 90s. I don't know if it's changed.
I think it has. I think I was told exactly that whilst driving along drinking a beer, but not even pulled over. The police pulled up and went, you can't do that.
You fucking can do what you want, mate.
And that was probably 2000, so...
Yeah, well, I
can't believe they've loosened the law off, is what I'm saying.
No, everything just gets tightened up, doesn't it? Like it's like a cable tie, it just gets tighter and tighter, you can't loosen it. That's how everything is. Society is like a cable tie. So that happened, but I've got a lovely fireplace for £69.
It is a bloody lovely fireplace, and installed. I mean, where's that come from? You've got the fireplace and it's installed. Your children have been sleeping out in the back, in the like, greenhouse for 6 years and yet you've managed to buy and install a fireplace.
I told you when it all started with painting my fence. I've started the ball rolling. I have ordered that window. It's coming into this week. That is ordered.
Yeah, it was ordered last week, wasn't it?
No, but you thought I was lying.
Yeah, I did.
But I hadn't. What I was lying about was the plasterer, which I still haven't contacted, but I'm waiting for someone to recommend me one. So it starts baby steps. You make baby steps. Like I started with a fence, then I got a fireplace. Then I bought a Victorian 4-column cast iron radiator for £20.
That does look nice as well. You sent me a picture. I'm very impressed with that. Bit jealous of that one, actually. I'll be honest with you.
What, having one of those nice... Because I'm doing my house up room by... I'm going to theme the rooms. Not theme it, like, oh, this is nautical. But the front of the house, I want proper Victorian, everything like... I mean, that fireplace is a reproduction, but it looks, you can't tell. It's cast iron and black.
No, it's really nice. It's a period piece.
Yeah, exactly. So the front room, I want all period. And then like the back, I'm going to have all modern. Because I want an architectural glass window, roof. I just look out the window and see my son just walk past my house. Instead of coming home from school, he's just walked past.
Well, that's probably for the best.
Yeah, just fuck off. Don't bother, mate.
I'm recording this next door to the crying baby's room, by the way, so there is the opportunity to hear baby Frith waking.
Is that what
from
you call it? I mean, we used to call it a nursery, but you've gone with crying baby's room.
Yeah, well, I call it what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is, the shitting shit room.
I call the room that I'm in the just laying and going to sleep because I'm very tired room. Not tonight room. I call this the not tonight room.
And the one with the sink in it downstairs, you call the order takeaway room.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Been a busy boy. I had some gigs I have, mate.
yeah, you had a lovely gig just up the road to me, and it was really nice because I love it when you gig local, because we always can get together and spend some time together, can't we, as friends?
Well, yeah, I offered, and you're like, oh, I can't, I'm gigging and I've got to do my radio show.
Yeah, you come on the radio show. That was nice to have you. Oh, no, you didn't bother. That's fine.
You never said any more about it. I thought you'd poo-pooed me.
I said, come down to the radio show, and you said, okay.
Yeah, that was it. But then the onus is on you to say where it is and stuff. I can't just fucking rock up. I don't know where I'm going.
Well, it was nice anyway.
Good. And so that was Saturday. But Friday I was in Bexley.
Bexley Heath?
Bexley Park, actually.
Where's that?
Yeah. It was a weird little sports hall in the middle of an estate. It wasn't very well attended. And I emceed, and I had a lovely old time.
And where is that then? I don't even know where that is.
Sort of like down near, like, you go over the Dartford Crossing, and it's sort of like probably another half hour from there, 20 minutes from there. It's not far from Dartford, actually.
It's in that weird, the weird zone between London and Kent, is it?
Yeah, that bit, that weird bit, somewhere around there. And but you know, my Edinburgh, my show in Edinburgh is basically, have I spoke about it on here?
Yeah.
So my show in Edinburgh is going to be an hour of crowd work where I'm going to roast the audience, basically. So conceptually,
you're trying that out.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to, but just because it is that. And then there's, I sort of like that gave me a grip, and I was not very nice on Friday, I've got to be honest.
You went dark, did you? You went early.
But I tell you what, they love it. I got away with it. I was like being horrible.
I'm sensing this thing in your voice that maybe you didn't.
But I'd sort of like, they were, like the first thing I said, I went like to this woman. I said, "What's you?" I didn't do one joke. And I mean, I didn't do one joke on Friday. Didn't even do like a little opener. I normally do a one-liner, but not one-liner, but I've got a short joke. I normally always didn't even do that. I just got up there and went, "Hello, what's your name?" Like that. And she was a teacher. That's just all I said, some really horrible things. And everyone just looked at her and went, "Yeah, this is what I do. Jay, this is what I'm going to do all night." And then, but that was it. They're fine with it once you tell them. Maybe.
So what did you say to the poor teacher?
I can't remember, but I said something, and I said, "Well, I can't remember." I basically said she was shit at her job from what she told me. That's fair. But then the last section, I got speaking to a banker, and when I said, "Would you?" and he said, "I'm a banker," then everyone was like, "Oh," they were like, "Oh, good. Now this bloke's going to deserve it."
No, that's not how you work, is it?
No, I was ever so complimentary and nice to him.
Thank you so much for pulling our nation through and all that kind of stuff.
And also, he worked for the Ghanaian International Bank. And I said, "Oh, what do you send? Armoured vehicles?"
I said, people's emails addresses.
And I said, "Do you sort of like import landmines over there and stuff?" And he was like, "Yeah, that sort of thing."
Well, you can't have a go at him when he's joining in, can you?
Well, yeah, you want to bet? I really did. And yeah, it was good. And then that one, then that one in Basildon on Saturday was a great one. Really nice little club.
I want to do that, but they've never spoken to me. I think we follow each other on Facebook, but they've specifically avoided me, which always annoys me.
Have you actually asked to do the gig, though?
No, I don't do that. I've asked you for the contact details, and you won't give that to me.
That's right. You just said that I've only got Facebook.
Yeah, but you should have phoned me up when you were with him and said, "Oh, Ash, I'm with John."
I've never known anyone that's so openly fucking operating in nepotism as you.
Totally.
Don't you want to earn anything?
No.
No.
Is there any way that you can earn it for me?
Well, yeah. If you was my fucking agent, that's what agents.
I want nepotism. I love nepotism.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Oh, that you scratch my back, I'll scratch. I don't know. You should just get it on merit.
I don't. I've not got any merits.
No, you haven't got any. You haven't, have you?
I can really hear a screaming child. Can you hear my screaming child?
I can't, but I know that this isn't the device you're recording on, what my feed's coming from, is it?
No, that's true. We have to say a big thank you, Jussie P, for a new Patreon has come on board.
That's always exciting.
Christopher Temple is a new patron. He will be getting the extra podcast every single month.
Right. Thank you, Christopher Temple.
and we've got a lot more followers. I have, and so has the podcast.
See, I'm in the sidecar. That's what I meant.
Well, yeah, but that's only because I put myself out there, and you can never do anything.
Well, I'm not allowed to, am I?
No.
Because if I do, you get the hump.
Exactly. Don't do that, I always say. But because I was on Bartians, we've had a lot of new listeners. So hello to them.
Oh, if you are a new listener, it's a fun little thing that we do here on the Pranks and Firth podcast. You won't know this. We invite people to go to iTunes, and it's a game. You have to see who can leave the most scathing 5-star review. So you have to leave 5 stars to qualify, but then the review, you've got to be as horrible or just basically honest as possible about how shit this is. And we've had some good ones. So if you look, there is a big discrepancy between stars accrued and the reviews we get. But if you haven't...
So you can be as damning as you possibly want. You can be, you can say horrible, horrible things.
It's an amnesty. As long as you leave. Racist, sexist, anything, ableist, whatever you want.
But as long as you put 5 stars, we will read them out. In fact, I haven't checked, actually, if anyone's done any recently. Have you?
No, I haven't. I don't do anything.
But we'll get back on it because we had huge listener numbers last week. So if you want to leave it, we'll read them all out next week. Let's do that, shall we?
Yeah, get back on the 5-star scathing reviews. I like that one.
Because the more reviews we get, the more... It sort of moves on iTunes or something. I don't really understand how it works.
People say things like that, but they're just boring, aren't they?
They are boring. We're not the best at self-promotion, are we, really?
Well, no, I mean, I actively think that I try to be the worst at it.
There's you withdraw progress from us, don't you?
I've always done a self-sabotage. I don't think I deserve anything, so I don't go for it. I like being the... gallant loser, I think.
Yeah.
Is there something romantic about that, don't you think?
No, it's annoying if you're your partner, me, I mean, in this situation.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like you get the guy that like just everything falls in his lap, or you get the guy that like, you know, deserves, I don't know.
Nepotism.
Yeah, the opposite. What's the opposite of nepotism?
Nomatism.
Nepotism, yeah. I don't know. But I'd rather be the guy that was like, oh, he's, I just want to die. And everyone go, oh, he was really good. Why didn't he do better than he did? I don't know. I'd rather that than you die and everyone's like, oh, that jammy twat. Like, everything opened up.
I have been that jammy twat. I did the gig in Coventry on Saturday with Matt Adlington. So we had the 3.5-hour drive each way. And I was just talking about how lucky I have actually been. Some of the stuff that I've done that's the best stuff I've done is absolute fluke.
Yeah.
No hard work, just total and utter fluke.
Can I say that, do you think?
Can you say that? No, you've had no fluke.
No luck. Because you have
actively withdrawn luck from the equation. Like, you are like a black hole for glad tidings.
I'm such a contrarian. I think I actually enjoy cutting off my nose just to spite my face. It's fun.
But I'm talking about stuff that isn't just about me. Like, it's not even about being nice or...
Well, clearly. It's about asking for nepotism, isn't it?
It's not even... Like, so I've had plenty of that. But there's stuff where it's just happened. I'm like, how the hell has this happened?
Yeah. That's true, actually.
Maybe you have had that. Maybe you
haven't. I haven't. I really haven't.
No, you haven't. You haven't.
It's like every gig I've ever had, I've done like a trial or I never got grandfathered in anywhere. Like when I got into, I've had the opposite of luck. Like I got into Jonglers, I had to do 10 open spots to prove myself.
Then they went bust.
And then they went bust owing me $2,000.
So
I actually ended up way, well out of pocket from my, then I had those abroad gigs and had like, did an audition. It took me like 18 months to...
I didn't do that. Do you remember when I didn't do that audition? Yeah.
And I was like, right, now I've got my feet well under the table. I did 1 year, right, and that this year I've got none.
Well, that's because the company went bust.
Well, yeah, I know. But they didn't drop me. They just changed bookers. And this new booker's like, right, we're not using any... So I had like one fucking year.
Well, they've said, they're not allowed to use any of the people that they used to book.
So that's
another kick in your knackers, to be fair. But also, they've cut the money in half for those gigs.
They have.
You wouldn't want them anyway.
No.
I mean, I would be disappointed if you took
them. No, I wouldn't. But the point is, I haven't got them anymore. No, and like I'm saying, so I have the opposite of good fortune. I have bad fortune, but yeah. I wouldn't change it. I prefer it in a weird kind of romantic way.
Well, at least you've got an excuse. I've got no excuse. That's the problem I've got.
No, that's true. Like, you if get invited on month, these podcasts, you get loads and loads of viewers. I don't.
But if I have a bad month for a living, you know what I mean? If I go, oh, this is a bit of a... I haven't earned enough this month, or it's, I'm struggling this month.
Yeah.
Then...
Oh, yeah, that's
I've
true.
I've got no excuse, whereas you can go, well, everyone hates me.
Yeah. Is that true? Is that what they think?
I think so.
I have got that in me that I think everyone hates me.
Well, I mentioned you to someone the other day, a grade A lister, because I say, oh, you know him? And then they go, he said, I heard the name, but I don't know him. And I said, oh, he books, and then I named, shall I say who that you book
gigs? Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
I said, oh, he books for Big Cheese. And he went, oh, yeah, I know him. Yeah, he books me, but then he doesn't book me anymore. And so I think maybe that's got something to do with it. Maybe you do yourself down by...
Who the fuck was that?
By forgetting to rebook people.
Who was that?
Rob Rouse.
I've never booked him.
Well, they may have. That's the thing.
No. It was the person that used to book for them has booked him before me. I've never booked him.
Exactly. But then, see, that's it.
And he's I ain't going to now. bad mouthing me.
He was not bad mouthing you, actually. It was the opposite of that. But
yeah,
I just find that maybe that's what goes against you.
Yeah, well, I've never booked him. See, that's the thing. Like, people think that they used to use someone else used to book for them, and now I do.
Yeah, but do you think that some people didn't? Because do you remember the guy that used to book for them used to book his own gigs and pay people like £3 and stuff?
Well, that's
like
what
that.
He did for them. That's why they got. That's all part of the reason why he's no longer booking for them. He was trousering a lot of the money. But
I heard a gig where he was like, "Oh, I can give you some money for the petrol, or whatever." And then the act did the gig, thinking it'd be like £30 or whatever. Which sometimes you do. Like when you're starting out, you do a gig for £30 because as long as it doesn't cost you anything, you do new material, blah, blah,
when
blah.
When you're starting and out, you dream of a gig for £30, Ash. Come on.
But then literally, he gave him like £3.80, which was like just the change he had in his pocket.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like some people will put expenses. Like, and I live near Norwich, right? So someone would have a gig in Brighton.
And you get helicopters to each gig.
Exactly. I drove down there in a Hummer. I'm like... 5 litre. No, but you do that. People say expenses and they're like, they don't ask you how much it costs to get there.
No.
So what the fuck does that mean?
No, you're right.
But I did a gig
recently where someone said, I'm really sorry, but do you mind if I pay you in cash?
Oh. And you said, okay, but...
I said, can you pay me in cash, but can you please write a receipt for that cash?
So I can make sure I pay my tax.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly that. I wouldn't do cash. I don't do cash gigs anymore. I wouldn't do them. I turn them down.
Yeah, same here now. I'm saying that was a while ago.
I haven't done one for ages.
Just not worth the hassle, is it? Of having to go through the...
Haven't done a cash gig for a long time.
Let me tell you something that happened this week that me and you were involved in. We caught the back end of a bit of a storm on social media where someone was starting a new gig. Now, they run pro gigs, let's call it, where they pay their acts well and they're good gigs. But they were saying, like, we've got this new gig coming and it's going to be a bucket split. There's some open spots, but we can give you a little bit of money, but only with what we take in the bucket at the end of the gig. And then they were just attacked by a couple of people on Facebook.
Oh, was it two? I thought it was just one.
Oh, I thought there were a couple.
There might have been.
How dare you do this for free? How dare you try and get people? And it's like, no. There's progress. Like, if you do well, I'll give you a paid gig. And they're like, this is disgusting. Not even petrol money. And I thought to myself, when I started, the stuff I did for free...
I still do the odd thing for free, mate. I still will do the odd thing for free.
Yeah.
Like, if someone said to me, well, not this year, right, because my show's not written, but, like, if someone said to me, come do an Edinburgh preview, and if it was, like, in Norwich, I go, but I can't pay you anything, I'd go do it.
Yeah, of course, because it would benefit you.
Yeah, you have to.
It's and, mad like, that...
Are these people... I tell you, they should get onto the Comedy Store, mate. they sell out, and they make a lot of people do a lot of open spots, you know? But well, do they attack the Comedy Store?
Damo Clark did 17 open spots at the Comedy Store before he got paid set there.
I spoke to an act who did like 40, and it was like 10 in Manchester and 30 in London.
And then they book you, and the money isn't even that great.
He hasn't been booked. No, the good money is decent, but it's just one club. And if there was like 15 of them, I would jump through the hoops, but I can't be bothered for like 2 weekends a year.
I've done the Manchester one as an open spot, but I've never done the London one.
But it's just, it's mad, isn't it? It's sort of like, I don't want to sound like the old dinosaur guy saying these open spots now don't know they're born, but that is the game. You do have to do loads for free. I did so much for free. And where I live, I racked up so many miles.
You know those gigs where you're standing literally in a pub and there's four people there and you've still got to go on for nothing. You don't even get a drink at the bar.
Yeah.
That's open mic stand-up.
Fucking
and
entitled.
And the only reason, it is a proving ground. No one would go up to Sunday League footballers and say, it's disgrace that you're playing football for Sunday League and you're not getting paid.
Yeah. I mean, it's a free entry gig, right, as well. So it is the same. It's not like, this entitled attitude. It's just this, you're not cut out for this. Whoever you are that had a go at it, just fuck off and do something else. Like, actually fuck off, because you're pissing me off. You fucking entitled prick.
You have to do it for free because you're awful when you start.
Everyone's done it. Everyone's done it. And do you know what? If someone offers, and they didn't target anyone. If someone puts up a generic post, come and do a gig for free or a bucket split. And if it's not for you, just don't do it. If like, you wouldn't get like Michael McIntyre going, well, you should be like, because it's not his gig. It's not for him. If you think you're above the...
hindering the comedy industry either. That's another thing I've seen before. Like, this is what's killing the industry. No, it's not.
Well, it's
been open mic gigs forever.
It's not a fucking open... It's not like a paid entry gig in London where they're not paying the acts, is it? At a weekend. No. And like, if the gig's not... Oh, fuck off. Honestly. I don't know anyone... Like, if you've never done comedy and don't know how it works, you might not get how just ridiculous it is for a brand new act or someone I've never certainly fucking heard of to have a go at the open spot system or the open mic night. It's an open mic night.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
Even down to like, you know, one of our favourite gigs, which was Bad Cat. Now, he would always, Jason, who now books really great gigs, but he'd try and give you something if he could out of the bucket. But we would bend over, we'd go through hoops. Like, it was names in a hat pulled out. You know, we could be... I know it wasn't a million miles for you to go, but I drove up to Cambridge and could be there all night just watching the other 20 open mic night, open micers, to then just come out at any point and then stay, because that's the dumb thing, and then get home at 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
It's just
but that's
fucking, it's
the
a
rite
shit.
Of passage.
It's a really shit thing you have to do. It's a shit thing, but you know it's shit. And if you're not prepared to do it, then you're not cut out for it. It's like, it is like basic training in army, isn't it? It's like going back to the army.
But do you think as well, like, even, it doesn't really stop, does it? Because if I want to go to a club I've never been to before and they have a certain policy, some clubs would go, I don't know you, so if you can come and do a spot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That thing where I got those gigs abroad, I had to go and do it 1 o'clock in the afternoon, a set in a rugby club, full daylight. I was the only comedian on, everyone else was like roller skating girls miming to fast food rockers and shit like that. I just went and did it. I didn't moan.
Well, remember when I said I couldn't do that and then I did it?
Yeah, you did, yeah. But you have to do it. That's what you did.
Well, it's worked out all right for me.
You did an audition. What's the difference? What's the difference? It's like an audition, isn't it? You don't get paid to audition if you're an actor.
No, it's true.
Speaking
of not auditioning, I can't remember where we were last week. I've been so tired.
Oh.
We've spoken about me being in the film. Have we spoken about me being
in the film? Yeah, you spoke about being in a film, yeah. This is what I mean. I'm in the sidecar. I ain't in no film.
I want to be in films all the time now is the problem.
Yeah, well, why not? Just ask someone to put you in films all the time with your nepotistic ways.
Maybe I should.
Ask. Put it out there. Ask someone. I'll make a film. Shall I make a film? I'd be really good at
making
films.
We should make a film.
Shall we?
Yes.
All right, let's do that.
Okay.
Yanis, can you write a script for us, please?
Oh, he will.
That'd just be bumming from page one.
I saw a tweet from him the other day. He had a friend over and he'd made this meal. It looks like an incredible meal.
Yanis is a dark horse. Yanis is a very cultured gentleman, I'll have you know.
His girlfriend was out of town, I think, and he'd prepared this delicious outdoor. We're eating it al fresco, which is German for outside.
Was his friend upstairs in a bath full of ice while Yanis was downstairs frying up his penis?
But it looked incredible, Yanis. But it does make me think... Yanis looks like a young man. I don't know how old he is. I'm saying...
Germans are always hard to age, aren't they? They don't seem to... They look younger than they are.
But he's got the mind of a much older man, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. He's a very cultured, civilised gentleman. He is like the doctor out of Human Centipede.
Did you see where he put his sticker for the from the his Pranks and Firth sticker?
Yeah, he put it on a fucking dirty great machete, didn't he?
Yeah, his murder blade.
Yeah, he did.
Well, oh, Yanis.
Yanis Bremmer. What are we going to do with a man like Yanis?
But I don't know. Oh, I'll tell you what happened this week.
Oh, what was that?
One of the two of the listeners might already know by the time they hear this. I'm not sure whether they've arrived yet, but Jesse P only sorted... Well...
I was waiting for this. The whole time, I've had what part of my brain was waiting for this little dig in the ribs from you.
The two of the listeners, two listeners, have received or will be receiving their T-shirts.
Oh, they're good T-shirts. I got them sorted in the end. Pulled my finger out.
Yeah, how did you get them sorted?
I emailed the picture to you and you did it.
Yeah, I did it, didn't I?
But that's how you got
it sorted. That's how you get everything sorted, isn't it?
Yeah. Just leave it. Just hide my head in the sand. People say, right, this is a myth about the... I'm going to blow this wide open, this myth, right? Here's a little life hack for you. Do you remember my life hacks?
Like Justin's life hack. There used to be a jingle. I think I deleted it. Go on.
All right, there's no jingle anymore. People say, you know, you mustn't hide your head in the sand. But do you know what? I always do, and it always works out somehow. Just, I think hiding your head in the sand works fine.
Fine. Because I'll do it for you.
Yeah, so there's always someone will step up and do it for you.
For every film role that I get handed to me, there's another shit job handed to me by you.
Yeah.
I think that's for the balance, the cosmic balance of things.
But I just do put my head in the sand and just ignore everything. And do you know what? People go, it won't go away ignoring it. It sort of does.
Yeah.
So that's my advice to anyone listening, to my children. Hide your head in the sand. Fuck it, it'll be all right. Who gives a shit? We're all going to die one day.
I like it.
That's my life hack.
But yeah, so the T-shirts are out. So if you have received your T-shirt to the people who have been sent them already and the people who are going to receive them, please take a picture, send it to us.
You've got to be wearing it in public.
Yeah. I did think about making the T-shirts available for the listener to buy. But the fact is, getting T-shirts made for people to buy... I can't imagine spending £20 on a T-shirt, which is what we'd have to charge for them.
I think once people start to clock the artwork, they would be happy to. It is a phenomenal picture. I've got to say it myself, but I outdone myself there. I thought it was pretty good.
You did do very, very well. But I honestly, that's the thing. It makes me laugh. I like it. I think it's a good T-shirt. I just don't know whether anyone would buy it.
What about
them.
Mugs? What about mugs?
A mug with the same thing on.
Yeah. Well,
that's not a bad idea. But then again, is anyone spending... What's a mug? How much does a mug cost to get printed and sent out?
£70. I don't know. You'll have to do it, won't you?
Because I'd want a massive mug. That's the thing. Who's buying...
Like a Sports Direct mug.
If that's the size I want it to be if I'm buying a mug for like a tenner.
Yeah, we could do mugs. I think a mug might be better.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here looking at my Nevermind the Bollocks mug I've got.
But is that a big mug? Is that like a
pint? No, it's a mug. I'd say it's mug-sized. It's proper, the classic mug. Where's a mug, do you reckon? I'd say it's 2/3 of a pint, maybe.
Something like that. But I like a pint mug.
No, I've got...
smaller. No, I like a 2/3 of a... I reckon it's maybe half a pint a mug.
Yeah, I reckon you're probably right. I think this is quintessential mug size. I can fit my index, middle, and ring finger through the handle, not my little finger. But it's a 3-finger mug. Is that how you classify a mug?
It is now.
Yeah, it is now. It's a 3-finger mug, and I think we should get these made up with that design on.
Okay.
And by we, I mean you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the talent. That's what I tell myself. I mean, I'm not that talented. You know, you've got the talented person who can be a bit of a diva.
Yeah.
I haven't got the talent to be regarded as a talent, but I'm so lazy and don't do anything, I kind of look like that.
You come across like a diva because can't be bothered. Oh, Justin's late again. No, he's just forgotten to come.
Like, if I had have come to your radio show on Saturday, I would have just walked up to the door and stood there until you opened it for me.
Well, you'd have to, actually, because there's a sort of pass door system.
All right. So. Well, okay. In the toilet cubicle, I would have made you open the door for me. But yeah, no, that's what I am. I sort of like just, I just swan about. I swan about like the talent, but without the actual talent. Well, fake it till you make it.
Let us know if you want merch. If you'd like a t-shirt and are prepared to pay about 20 quid for one.
Best thing to do is if we had 12, we could pick a competition of 12 of the best fan arts and make a calendar for next year.
I mean, Yanis has come up with so many arts. I think we've probably already got.
He DMs me ones, you know. He DM'd me one of me as William Wordsworth laying on
people
a chaise.
People definitely
lot.
Want a calendar, but how many? Like, should we do pre-orders on a calendar? And when do you do that? Like July time?
Yeah.
There we go. We'll do pre-orders on a calendar and we'll get calendars out for Christmas. For 2020 it'll be, won't it?
Oh, God, that sounds like the future, doesn't it?
It is the future in many ways.
Well, it is, but, I mean, it sounds like
The far distant future.
It sounds like sci-fi future. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It doesn't sound like it could possibly ever be real that it's 2020. That sounds like a date you would have made up. Like, in the year 2020, I think we will eat a pill instead of eat meals. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well.
I suppose what do you call it? You know, what's it called?
Don't know, mate.
I was going to say druggies do take a pill instead of eat meals, don't they?
Well, I think that this little meeting we've had at the end of the podcast really does highlight why you should go and support us at patreon.com/pranksandfirth or one-off payments at www.ko-fee.com/pranks. And we'll get some stuff made. That's what we're going to do. I think we're going to have to open some sort of shop.
Yeah, it's an online shop.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Well, we're going to need a website for that.
Oh, I can sort that out. Don't worry about it. I'll do that.
I'll sort that out then, shall I? Listener, thank you so much for listening. As I said before, I think we had nearly the biggest week we've ever had last week, and that is because of you, the fan, spreading the word, listening, coming over from Barshans. This is it.
Yeah.
There are plans for more.
Well.
But let's not get carried away with ourselves.
No.
Please listen again. Please subscribe. Please share.
And please give us a 5-star scathing review on iTunes.
That'd be lovely. Mm. I'll speak to you again soon, Jussie P. And for those people who are waiting for some sort of extra content for May, it's as good as made.
As good as dead.
Cheers, mate. See you later.
Bye.